Hey, how you doing, Henyer? Everything all right with you?
Everything is good, brother. How are you, man?
I am good. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Thanks for having me, brother. Appreciate it.
So, who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Henyer Dominguez. I run House of Raps based out of Miami, Florida. Work anywhere in South Florida. And that's pretty much it.
So, first off, I love the name. How did you come up with the name?
House of Raps? How did I come up with House of Raps?
Mm-hmm.
Funny story. Before I got into raps, I opened up, it was probably like 16, 17 or so years ago. I come from a mechanic background, so my dad's been a mechanic pretty much all my life. And we opened up a mechanic shop, and right around the corner from there, it was, who ended up being a buddy of mine. He had a body shop for motorcycles. And he did a lot of custom work and custom paint and stuff. And his main, he's from Colombia and stuff. So he's like really like Americana type of dude, vintage type. So he's always liked House of Color paints. Mm-hmm. And he would always use House of Color paints. So, later on when I was coming up with a name, I actually started with Rap Stars. With a Z, and I was like, back then around 2006 or 7 around there, is when I came up with Rap Stars. But it turned out I didn't really do much. I didn't do like as much homework as I needed to. And I found out probably like a year later or something like that was one not too far from me, actually. It was called Rap Stars. But they did like wallpapers and stuff. So it was like, whatever. So I was like, damn, I like to be singular, if you will, in anything I do. So I'm like, I gotta change the name. And the first thing that popped into my mind was House of Color. I was like, shit, House of Raps. And boom, that was born.
I thought first you got it from the artist, House of Pain.
Once you meet me, you're like, oh, who's this Irish guy over here? And you wouldn't think for a second that I was, Cuban American.
You got the beer.
Yeah, exactly. The beer. That's my thing. It's my way of life is a beard. My beard introduced itself to the room first. any room I walk into, it introduces itself first, and I've always I've had a beard since I was like probably like 17 years old, and I get a lot of crap and envy for it because a lot of people can't really fully grow it out. They have like little patches that's missing and stuff, so they're like they hate on me. So I grew it for them. what I mean.
For people that can't really grow their beard out, thank you for growing it.
Hey, I stand tall with you guys, man. I stand tall with you guys. I wear proudly.
So, Henyer, you've been inside cars for your life, from what I get, since your dad being a mechanic and all that.
Yeah.
But how do you do the jump? I mean, how do you go from working in cars to working on the outside of them?
Like I said, I started the shop with my dad, and it was kind of happy and sad kind of ordeal because he didn't really want to see the vision where I wanted to go with, because my thing was like performance stuff, and like at that time HIDs, which are high intensity discharge lights, were becoming popular, And I was getting, you know, my dad had a shop kind of in the hood, if you will. So I was getting a lot of guys coming over and they're, you know, in their Donks and Buck Chevys is what you call them out here. You know, in their old cars, and they wanted me, somehow got a hold of these HIDs, which only came on factory vehicles, somehow got a hold of them and wanted, you know, was looking for somebody to put them on. So I started installing those. And you know, I wanted to get into, you know, the performance, because you know those kind of people have money to throw down, especially cash for like performance right. stuff and all that, and suspension work and all that. And my dad was old school, so he wasn't really into it. So I grew frustrated with it. You know, it was something that almost every day I slept in. I didn't really, you know, care for going in. You know, I had to go in because, I mean, it's my dad. But, you know, I always come in late, kind of abuse the power a little bit because I wasn't just into it. And working on cars, you know, I'll get a nut stuck and all you hear in the shop is just curse words and me throwing his tools, which are Snap-on, because he's a diehard Snap-on guy. So I'm throwing his Snap-ons everywhere, and it just got to a point where we got into an extremely heated argument, and he like basically sacked me to the ground, and we started wrestling. And from then on, I was, you know, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't jeopardize our relationship anymore. So I just ventured off. I think I had like one or two different jobs. I forgot what they were. Probably like in sportswear, like warehouse work and something like that. My brother, actually, my older brother, he worked at a creative firm that did websites. They specialize in websites and, you know, design and branding for condo conversions. You know, and housings and all that. So, you know, the people who did the sign, the company that did the sign work for them, was looking, he formed, you know, a friendship with the guy, you know, cause my brother did all the design, prepped all the files for print and all that. So my brother heard that they were looking for somebody, and I went, this was like early 04, is when I went in to the sign shop. They had been open for 14 years prior to that. You know, they had been around for a little bit. It's four brothers. They had two locations, three locations at the time. Went down to two and then one. I went in there. The guy that was already there doing the sign making, you know, he taught me the ropes a little, you know, a little bit, squeegeeing and all that. And at that time, large format really didn't get to the price point where it ended up being cheaper than regular vinyl cut. So at that time, there was just so much vinyl cut stuff that was getting done because it was just so much cheaper and just the workload. And since then that company specialized in actually doing all the sign work for all these condo conversion companies, you know what I mean? Big condo conversion companies out here in South Florida. So their work was just unreal, like surreal, their work. It's like absolutely almost no walk-ins. It's just pure in the real estate world, you know, and monumental signs and the whole nine. Everything, every signage that you see in one of those condos is what, you know, the monuments, the sign, the numbers for the doors, you know, fire exits, all that. You know what I mean?
So how old were you at the moment?
I was, Jesus, hold on, you're making me do math. I wasn't prepared for this. Guys, I seriously just needed to do math for this. I was 22 years old. I was 22 years old. I'm 38, I think now. I'm 38. I think I'm, yeah, 38. I was 22. You know, I was you know, single cat, 22, you know, I
enjoying the life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I lived life early. So I kind of matured early. So, cause I had, I met my wife, but I think we were like 20, I was like 23 or 20, like 24 is when I met my wife for the second time. Cause me and my wife have known each other since we were like 8 years old. We grew up with each other. So we found ourselves later on in life, 23, 24. She had a son that was, a year and something. And, you know, the father wasn't around. So I kind of stepped into that role.
What I hear is that you were pretty young when you became a dad. You became also, what made you take the jump from working at someone's place to decide, okay, I want to start my own with a little kid and a family and all of that?
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, tough, rough patch. I grew up kind of in a delinquent state, if you will. I've been a problem child since as far as I can remember, and always found myself into trouble, you know what I mean, all the time. So I was going through a patch where it was either, you know, doing that or, you know, who knows where I would be right now, either jail or somewhere else. So I basically crashed into a brick wall and had to decide, you know, what I wanted to do, because it was already, you know, since I lived earlier, you know, and by me saying lived earlier, you know, I used to go out with my brother to clubs when I was like, you know, 14, 13, 15 years old, you know, and I lived that bachelor life with him when he lived at the beach and all that early. So it was when I got to my early 20s, it was just nothing to do but to either, you know, start life or go downhill. And I just decided to start life.
That is strong. I mean, it's the small things in life, right? The change.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, everything happens for a reason. I don't regret anything. You know what I mean? Married freaking, what, like 13 years already with somebody I've known since I was 8. You know, we got three kids out of it that drive me up the wall, but at the end it's all worth it, so they say. You know, but yeah, it's cool. We're veering off.
I don't worry, we'll go back now. So now that we know who you are, and how did you go from maybe doing cutouts and signs and all of that into doing reps?
So at the sign show, so I was there at the sign shop. I was just doing mainly table work, installing, you know, magnet size graphics, 12x24 inch graphics. You know, doing like, I'll say, like quarter wraps. You know how they do on the vans. They do the upper portion that wraps around to the other side. So those little small jobs, is, you know, I didn't really get into, they didn't really let me go into it. You know, they had their installers that they subcontracted at the time. We were just so busy on the inside, and they keep me so busy on the inside. And I was so fast at doing the table work that it was better for me to be inside producing than it was for me installing, I guess. Right. You know? So I was there for about 4 years, and I ventured off with my brother and my brother-in-law. We did. Now this is like, I'm talking about a little bit past the middle of the housing crash here. You know, in like an 08 around there. It was like in the middle of that big freaking housing crash was here. We opened up a shop. Dude, it was like 150, 175 square feet inside a shopping center. And I would do the signs and the printing. My brother would do the websites and also some design. And then my brother-in-law did the computer repair. It was a phenomenal one-stop shop. It was small but productive. You know what I mean? So it was awesome
Sure
because
sounds like it.
it was awesome because the location was just it was a sweet location. We were across the street from we had a bunch of businesses around us, a bunch. We were across the street from a big computer retailer, which was Tiger Direct. So my brother-in-law was busy with people, you know, couldn't go over there, would come over to us. And then from there, anybody that'll come for any one of us would know that we did all the other stuff. So it was awesome. But it didn't work out, you know, as much as we tried. That recession was just, you know, like I said, it was just a little bit past the middle of it where it was like probably the worst it was to open any business. So it didn't make it. From there, I went to work for a sign shop that we would outsource our signs to because we didn't have no printers or no, all we had was a plotter. That's all we had. We had one of those, we had an Anagraph and a US cutter, I think it was. I started working there and they knew that I dabbled in the raps. And, you know, that was like 08, 09 around there. And they needed somebody to do the raps. And I was there. And it's crazy because when I got there, the installer that they had there was a good friend of the owner and the people that worked there because they all grew up together. They were doing their wraps with no lamination and wet apply. And
All right.
on top of all that, they were using Arlon 6000, which is the most aggressive cast vinyl that there is, I think.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, so when we would do that, when we finish install, it'll go to a body shop and it'll get clear coated at the body shop. And
Oh.
then, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So it'll take
Yeah.
about a good week for us to turn around these wraps. But I mean, you know, they had a laminator there, they just didn't know how to work it. And after a bit, and this is South Florida sun. We were doing it underneath an awning, you know what I mean? And wet in and wet installing non-laminated Arlon 6000. After a while, I'm like, dude, I just have to make this laminator work. So I Googled it, I researched it, I tried to get the manual. I finally found the manual after searching for like an hour, and I made it work, and we started laminating the wraps and installing dry, and that's it. From there on, from there on, like little odd. What I'll call custom, you know, work will come through there every once in a while. We did I remember Mercedes-Benz dealer here was doing a black and white sale, and somebody had the idea of just wrapping the car half white, wrapping a black car half white, and then putting in the front, you know, black and white sale. And for, I mean, we did that with laminated Avery 1005 EZRS, which is now the 1105, but at that time it was 1005. Because there was no solid colors that there is now to do that type of work. You know, I was just wrapping cars. I didn't really put custom wraps together just yet. So it was, I was there for a bit, I was there for like a good 4 years, and it was, I learned a lot from there. I learned how to be extremely fast installing Arlon 6000, that when I would install 3M and Avery, you could just imagine how much faster I was. So I thank Arlon for that. I was probably one of the only guys I knew that loved to install Arlon 6000. I don't know why. I loved how much it grabbed. I loved how much it held. I really didn't like the removal. Practice, right? Yeah, I really didn't like the removal part. But we weren't doing many removals, so it wasn't all that bad. You know? But yeah, I was bumping heads with the manager there for a little bit, and I got to a point, you know, we got into one argument where it just led me to just leave the shop in the middle of a job I was doing. I left just to compose myself. I came back, I finished, you know, what I was doing. And yeah, I sat him down, I talked to him, and I told him, listen, I just can't no more. You know, and this was people that we would crash heads constantly throughout the day, but come 6 o'clock, when we're off the clock, we're playing dominoes and poker every day. You know what I mean? That's how we were. That's how I am. That's how I guess how you know, I got a little bit from that, learning how to separate, you know, business from everything else. So that was one of the biggest, you know, that was like the awesomest thing from there, is no matter. But it just got to a point where I was just, I can't no more. You know what I mean? It started to take a toll at home. Once I saw that, I was like, I can't no more. And that's when I started. That's when I started Rap Stars, and then I was doing that for a year, and then I did Hustle Raps, and you know, there's stuff there that I'm missing in the middle, but you know.
When you started your own business, were you starting from the beginning thinking that you wanted to do customs, or you just fell into it?
Right. So it was a short period. While I was still working with these guys, you know, that we started doing little, you know, odd jobs that had to make us look for, you know, for the type of material, you know. We started getting, you know, requests for like matte black stuff. And at the time there wasn't really any matte black, you know, you know, I started getting, people that knew me, that knew what I did, asked me, okay, can you do this? Can you do that? And I just started investigating, and, 3M, I think, was the only ones who had, it came in a 48 inch roll, but it was matte black. But the thing is that it had the CV1 crosshair pattern in the back, that real heavy crosshair in the back, like the CV1s. Mm-hmm. So you could kind of see the pattern through the, you know, when you're looking at the route to the top. So, but it was the only thing available to us, you know, at that time. And then Avery came out with the first 60-inch gloss black. They only had gloss black. I think it was, yeah, they only had gloss black. I think it's gloss black. And yeah, they only had gloss black in 60-inch. And they probably have gloss white too, but I'm not sure. But the only one we only used was gloss black. So we get the gloss black, and we will laminate it with their ultra matte or with their luster to get either a satin or a matte black finish to it. And that's how we started doing the matte black stuff and all that. Just get a roll of Avery and just laminate it matte black. you know, it was really decent, you know, really decent vinyl. I mean, the Avery, it was like very, 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 very thin. It's one of the thinnest ones. I think it was like a 1.3. And then the lamination was like another 1 point something. So it was like pretty good, almost 3.
Dude, compared to Aaron 6000?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. So, yeah. That's how we did it. And then there was a company out here in South Florida that I'll say was the first. I wouldn't say it was one of in Florida, but it was the first in Florida to specialize in custom wraps. Mm-hmm. And it was a guy that that the company I was with still then when I was popping off, it was a friend of theirs, an acquaintance of theirs. And he started getting like crazy requests on wrapping Bentleys, you know, and exotic cars with like, you know, with a livery stuff or like the Golf, that Golf livery, design and all that. So things like that. And also, for race cars as well. So, the buddy of theirs that was working there as the installer, started doing, you know, his stuff on the side. Cause it was, you know, it was pretty cool stuff to work on a freaking Bentley, you know, whatever, an exotic vehicle in those days. So I grew extremely fond of it because I went straight into exotics myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who it was that came up with the idea. I guess it was them. There was no solid colors available at the time. So we just started printing different colors and laminating them with the different laminations, and we'll get at least different colors and, you know, either a gloss, a matte, or a satin. And, from there, it just, you know, we really didn't have no type of price range to go by. Cause we were growing with a brand new market. We were, you know, pricing it out pretty much triple of what we would do a commercial. That's how we pretty
that sounds
much
nice.
We pretty much broke it down like that. It really came from the printing and signs worlds. So we just applied the prices. We just tripled it because, you know, we're more liable because we're working on exotics and it's more time consuming. It's more detailistic. We started doing that, and then 3M came out with their 1080 series, which was probably like, I don't know, like 10, 12 colors, something like that. And it talked itself. I didn't have to convince anybody of it because it was so new, and like the wow factor was like, they'll see a car wrapped matte black and they're like, their head will explode. You know what I mean? Unlike now, that's like, nah, that's a wrapped car. Whatever. You know what I mean? It went from that to, you know, I at that time I didn't really, I was still working with them and, you know, building my clientele. And you know, it got to a point where I had to part ways with them, and you know, I started the Rap Stars. I did the House of Raps, and when I did the House of Raps, at that time, I believe I opened it up in 2009. I opened up House of Raps. I coincidentally met a person who I still do work for to this day. that bought and sold exotic vehicles. And we were just, I mean, he was throwing me like 2 a week sometimes.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like full wraps. And all they wanted, all this started off, all that anybody wanted was matte black, satin black, matte black, satin black, matte white, matte gray, grays, you know, that color tone is what was just, you know, extremely popular. Nobody was doing colors out here. Everything was just, in the grayscale area is what they were doing out here. Because it just looked, that murdered out look was just, it was beautiful. It made any car look just 40 million times better. So I was doing that for the dealer, and that one dealer ended up becoming about, I believe, like 20 dealers that I was doing work for. You know, there's always a story behind the build up to all that, but you know, we always had incentives to the sales managers and all that, and everything was worked out, you know. Prior, they sold the product. I was just there to install it. You know what I mean? I had marketing material for them. I had like little roll up banners that I'll do with their little logo, brochures that I had printed that I'll leave with them to show different, you know, different pictures and different things that they could do. And I was doing that for a bit until I just got burnt out, because it was, you know, it was just me, you know, being and also being mobile at the same time, because, you know, starting off, I couldn't really, you know, I was living with the wife, and, you know, the wife had to hold it down for a little bit when I first started. So, yeah, I got to a point where I just got burnt out, because it was just too much. It was either too much, or it ended up getting to a point where I couldn't deal with the people from the dealers anymore. It was just such a hassle. And also, you know, once it started being a hassle to get paid, is when I started just trimming back and ended up staying with about like 4 of them, I'll say, like the most consistent ones is what I stayed with. And I was right there. I was on autopilot for quite some time, just pumping out work and posting. Come 2012, I think 2010, 11 or something like that is when Instagram came out. 2012, was when I opened up the Instagram, and at that time, I mean, I didn't really see nothing of nobody, of no company specializing just in custom wraps. I mean, especially a company posting pretty much almost daily of different types of jobs and stuff. I did so many gloss black roofs. It is unbelievable the amount of gloss black roofs I've done, especially for like dealers and all that, because that's pretty much what really, really blew up even more than doing full wraps is having that panoramic look to your car. That's what really blew up at that time. You know,
so what would you say if you fast forward now to today, and let's say I stop one of your customers coming out from your shop and I ask them what you are known for, what would you think they would say about you?
For my consistency, I'd say
I've seen your corner work.
I'm not too shabby around corners. I don't really toot my horn, you know. I'm really I was nobody really knew who the hell, you know, House of Raps was until, you know, I made a change where I kind of got tired of it all, because, you know, fast forwarding to nowadays, there are just so many people doing raps out there, and me living in one of the most saturated markets ever.
Would you say South Florida is like that, or?
What's that?
Would you say South Florida is like that? It's saturated?
Oh my God, yes. Saturation is just not the word for what goes on out here. It's just, it's ridiculous, you know? But, you know, like I said, you know, being consistent is what really keeps you going. Because, you know, nobody, that was like the biggest issue for me also, is none of my clients wanted absolutely nobody else to do their stuff. They only wanted me to do it, because a lot of them would go through a lot of other companies out there, and they're like, I mean, they always come back around, because it's just the consistency is there, but it's just so much that I can do.
Right.
You know, I tell you a quick story. One of the dealers I did work for is a big dealer in Fort Lauderdale, and they sell a lot of exotic cars. And the two people that did their work was me or Metro Raps. If Metro Raps couldn't do it, I would do it. If I wouldn't do it, Metro Raps would do it. And nobody else would do their stuff. And that's how it is. You know, but again, you know, Metro Raps having decent size staff, if you will, and me being to just me, it was, you know, it's extremely overwhelming, and there's only so much I could do.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to grow.
The best part of that about that is that I could pick and choose, you know, what I want. But that's the type of person I am. That's why they always come back to me, dude, because the consistency and the way I am, you know, with just anybody. I don't care if I have a grudge with you or whatnot. I mean, I still to this day do work for people that I despise, but I swallow that. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it's business. I don't have to like you. As long as you know.
As long as you pay.
Huh?
As long as you pay and pay good.
Exactly. As long as it's always there when the job is done, we will never have an issue. I don't care what there is between us.
Would you say you're picky with projects?
I'm not. I mean, I'm not necessarily picky with projects. I've almost done it all, like in the printing and signs industry. No, I'm really not. I'll do. I mean, I have, you know, I have favorite things that I like to do, but you know,
what do you like to do? What's your favorite thing at the moment?
To rap.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to rap are Range Rovers.
Which one of them?
I'll say, pretty much, I'll say any of them. Mm. Just a simple fact, because they haven't really changed the design. I mean, you're really doing like those 30-inch panels from the window trim down. They're like, I don't know, 30 or 34, 35 inches around there. You're just doing those panels all around the car, and then you do the top, or you just leave the top. It's all gloss black anyway, so it looks nice. But either way, if you do the top, I go through it. They deconstruct extremely easy, at least for me. I know people are going to be hearing, you know, having hard times with these deconstructions. Like, what is he talking about, man? For me, they're cake. To break apart, and then to wrap. I love wrapping those things, because when you're working with small panels, when you're working with small panels like that, just like if you're working on a G-Wagon, one of the most despised vehicles in the rap industry to rap. But at the same time, for me, it's one of the easiest to rap. The only thing that's difficult about that car is how much crap you have to take off. But once you start rapping, it's, I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, tedious as all hell because you're doing like 400 different panels that make up one, you know, one vehicle. But it's like you put some tunes on and you fly through it. As once it's deconstructed, fully deconstructed, and you're wrapping it, it's cake. It's the whole deconstruction and building it back up thing that's just beyond ridiculous.
It sounds like you take use of your prior knowledge of being a mechanic, right? You know how to remove it all.
That played a big factor in what I did, because I had that advantage of, because we, well, you know, when we started this, when it first started, no, I mean, I wasn't taking apart cars. I mean, I don't think nobody was taking apart cars until, you know, a few years ago. At that time, it was, I don't think there was nobody. Then we started, yeah, taking this mirror off this amount of time, and it came out a lot cleaner. What would happen if we, you know, strip it down completely, and you know, it came from there. On my side, I was able to have a competitive edge because I would also do the deconstruction when other people have to pay for somebody to do that. So I'm able to keep a relatively good price point on the color change wraps because of that. But it's like it's still, you know, a little high for people nowadays. So that always was a plus for me to be able to deconstruct these. And I'm taking apart freaking, you know, Rolls Royces and Aventadors and, you know, you name it. I was taking them apart and putting them back together.
Yes, and once you have a feel for it and you know how it is, and
once you know how to do one car, you can do them all.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So you were talking a little bit about Instagram before. I also wanted to touch on that. What's your thought on that? How big are you on Instagram? How much time you put on it?
I mean, serious. My
because you were early on the game.
Yeah. My brother was, you know, my brother's been like I said, in the websites and all that, but his main thing was SEO, and AdWords. He's Google certified with to do AdWords and all that. And I had a helping at the beginning, by him amping my website and the whole being one on Google and all that. He had mentioned to me, because I was still on MySpace, putting up pictures of my work, and then he had mentioned about Instagram, and I didn't know what Instagram was. And, you know, he was more in that lingo, and then I opened up the Instagram, and I was like, okay, it's pretty cool. You know, it's a place where you can showcase. A place you can showcase your work. I didn't really see it as think about, oh, this might be a way to, you know, generate revenue and get work. But I didn't see it that way. I just saw it as a place to just, you know, to, my portfolio, if you will. I thought for me doing what I did, a website was kind of obsolete. Having a platform that I could, in a fly, just update, you know, and upload pictures and all that. And then the hashtagging started happening, and I started hashtagging, and, you know, it grew from that. And it was, you know, almost posting daily of work that I'll be doing. You know what I mean? And starting to build that, and you know, at first they didn't really do no advertisements or none of that. You couldn't you couldn't pay, you know, for to do that type of stuff on Instagram. Once they started doing it, you know, I'll throw a little bit here, a little bit there, but I didn't really get that into it because it's really still to this day not something I use. It's also I get them all the time, mm-hmm. but I just tell them to email me, you know, just email. I used to reply to them, and I stopped a couple of years ago because it was just, you know, a lot of people know with Instagrams, a lot of people know the requests that they get, especially for like sponsorships and all that.
Yeah.
And that was one big thing I was into also, going to a lot of car shows. Food trucks. When food trucks first popped out over here, I was going to a lot of the events because I was doing a lot of food trucks for a food truck manufacturing company. I would go to the events. You know, I had my car wrapped. I had it decked out with strobe lights everywhere. And I would go to these events and, you know, and I would get people, you know, that, you know, for anything. Because, you know, it said printing and signs. And I'll get the little odd jobs from there. I did a lot of walking in Home Depot.
It's a hustle, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, of course. I mean, at the beginning, if you're not doing it, I mean, just there's no other way to do that. I mean, at the beginning, when I opened that up, you know, I was hitting up all the Home Depot. We're like bouncing back and forth now, so
don't worry, we're all over the place.
It's all good. I used to do a lot of, you know, flyer distribution at a bunch of Home Depots. I'll just go to the parking lots, and all the commercial vans that I see or a car that looks commercially to me, I'll put a flyer in there, you know, and that was my thing. That's when I very, very first started, because I very first started, honestly, doing commercial wraps, because that's what was the bread and butter, and the constant. It's always been constant because it's a necessity for a company. You know what I mean? And then on the side, the custom wrap world, you know, I was doing that. And then once the custom wrap world started making me more than the commercial stuff, boom, I switched to the custom wrap stuff and just 1,000%, you know, on that.
We've been talking a little bit about the past. What would you say future-wise? Where do you want to take the company now? Now that you're getting off Corona and all of that.
These past few years, I transitioned from going from doing all the, you know, getting, you know, being a full-fledged print shop, if you will. You know what I mean? To just being an installer. You know what I mean? So over the years, over these past couple of years, I've started taking off hats. Because it was just, you know, getting home at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night and then starting to design was just, I couldn't do it anymore.
It does,
and especially me, that I break dance for like 9 years. We'll go into on a further date. So because of that, my body is just like, I have the body of like a 70-year-old man. I grunt and moan on the floor when I have to get up, get down for any movement. I grunt and moan. Okay. So I started taking off the hats and just concentrating on just doing installs, and started just doing installs for sign companies. And, you know, I went through the cycle again, which in the beginning I did it with dealerships, but then I ended up doing it with sign shops. I had so many sign shops, but then I just got tired of being the one that has to come to the rescue when, you know, things went wrong on their ends, you know, no [S2] Right. [S1] Seams or 1/8 inch overlaps or, freaking words going through door handles. Just make it work. Okay, can you make it work? I got tired of making it work for them. And the levels of appreciation dropped for making it work for them. And I, you know, just like the dealerships, I narrowed it down to the most consistent ones. And I stay with those, and they keep me busy year-round, every year.
You live and learn, right?
You do. You live and learn multiple times. You do not stop living and learning until the day you fully rest. You know, it is what it is. That is life.
Hanyer, we could sit here and talk for hours, but I want to be respectful of your time. And so I thought I'd kick you a couple of quick questions.
Please, enough with the long answers. I'm sorry for being so...
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We can go a couple of hours. But what is your preferred vinyl at the moment?
My preferred vinyl at the moment, I mean, I'm really...
And you cannot answer Arlington 6000.
Okay. I'm an equal opportunity vinyl installer. Okay. I install anything and everything. If I would tell you a preference right now, honestly, and like this is like straight out honesty, even though...
Surprise me.
The Arlon SLX.
I could see that one coming, though.
Yeah. I install anything and everything, have installed anything and everything. CV1, CV2, CV3, 480, Avery, Oracle, LG, you name it.
Got it. Yeah.
For all those wraps that I did, this is how I explain to these people, and you know, how I explain myself. For all these raps that I do, or for anybody that does raps, my process is I do the rap, I take it outside, I let it cook outside for a little bit. We have awesome South Florida, an oven right outside the door. Mm-hmm. I put that car outside, I let it cook, I bring it in. There's always going to be an edge here, an edge there, an edge here that you put down, you cut back, you know, you do your little thing. Boom. With the SLX, I take it out just like I take out all the other vehicles I've done with any other vinyl. And when I bring it back, I don't have to do nothing else. Nothing. There's not little one, because I try 1000% all my post heating. Especially on corners. I only post heat corners and stretched areas. That's all you really need to post heat, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Corners, stretched areas. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes out tight. It goes outside, loosens up a little bit, bring it inside. I tighten up the loose ends. With the SLX,
right.
And then the numerous ones that I've done the same thing. And when I bring it in, I do not have to tighten up loose ends. That's my 2 cents with Arlon. I have my personal cars is wrapped with a test kit probably like a month before the release of the SLX. It's still on my car. There's stretched areas in my car that has not pulled back I did it on purpose just to put stress on the vinyl. The color is still as vibrant as the day that I printed it. You know, even though I did print it on a latex, but it's still crisp. The only thing a lot of people are still waiting for is the removals of these 2, 3, 4 year old SLXs, which with the 6000, holy crap. It was crazy. So that to me for right now is still the thing to be determined about the SLX. Mm-hmm. But dude, honestly, you know, the Arlon SLX for me personally. But for other, a lot of the print shops out there are still not with the thing, you know, and they 3M, they're 3M and 3M, or they're Avery, and they stand by it. You know, it's either 3M and Avery. I really don't like Avery as much because since it's a pressure sensitive adhesive, I don't like the fact that I'll, you know, take out a bubble here and the bubble will appear on the, you know, somewhere else. So it's a mission for that. The 3M, I mean the CV3, I'm a CV1 guy.
For those that don't know about the difference, if you explain it quickly, what would that be?
I can't really go into the straight specifics of it, but the CV1 has a very, very aggressive liner that really marks the adhesive portion of the vinyl. So you can see the crosshairs, like, really, really, you know, you can really see the crosshairs, you know, even though, even more so. But, you know, CV1 is mainly, the CV1 is only a contract vinyl. So you could only have the, when you buy regular kits, you're going to get the CV3. But if you have a contract with 3M, you're going to get the CV1. Okay. So a lot of these people who pump out a lot of kits and have a contract with them, that's the vinyl that they use. For the most part, because I have seen people with contracts that they do get the CV2. Which is, you know, the it has like a grainy, grainy lines going through the back, and you don't really see the crosshairs on it, just like you don't see it on the, well, the CV3 you can see a little bit, and the CV2 you can't really see it at all, but the CV1 is like, you know, it's really there, so much so that you can see it on the graphic side coming through, but you know, it is what it is.
What's your favorite color then?
Favorite color? Favorite color. I would say my, it's totally cliche, but I would say that my secondary car, my show car that I have, that is wrapped with the PWF. It's the, which one is it? Oh crap! It's the Barry. I'm drawing. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right now. Jesus Christ! It's the sparkling Barry matte metallic. For me the best color. It's a beautiful color, dude. The three colors, because it's a three color break. It's like a bronze, a purple, and a black.
Really?
And dude, those three colors come at you, like they're really dominant when they're dominant. You know what I mean? If you get the angle of the black, that sparkling berry. I know Orcal has one that's similar, that's gloss. But yeah, I think that color, and honestly, that film is probably one of the best films that I've worked with.
And one last question before I let you go. What is your favorite project?
My favorite project?
Of all the projects you've done.
Dude, that's a loaded question. Are you ready for like an hour of answers?
Just whatever comes to mind.
Oh God. My favorite one. I'll probably have to say it's a commercial one. It's a commercial rap I did for for the for you know a company that I used to be in cahoots with. You know, since I've always been about custom, especially like before the wrap stuff when I was like in the printing and science, I did a lot of print work and business cards and all that. But I would always, for some reason, always push custom. So I'll always push, you know, silk cards or embossed cards or spot UV cards and all that. And, you know, I made people push everywhere I work. I'm like, no, you have to push these cards, you know? So one of the projects I did, and something I love to do is mix media with commercial wrap. So I did so Ford Transit I did for a sign shop. And we did it was half printed, gloss laminated, and then the other half was brushed steel. Okay. Yeah, and then we did even though it didn't really stick that well, and we had to end up, you know, taking it all off. We did spot graphics, spot RTA text on the steel, so we could get the contrast yeah. off of that. You know, the gloss on top of the brush, and you know things like that are always for me, like. The best things to do, I guess, you know, going back to what's my favorite thing to wrap is probably doing things like that, mixing medias, you know what I mean? Doing a print and either gloss or matte and then just, you know, adding, you know, shadow black or, you know, any other crazy color that'll contrast off, you know, whatever else is done. That's probably like my favorite thing to do. I did a Bugatti. It's probably the most expensive vehicle I've done. That was pretty cool. But yeah, it's just so many projects. That one, you know, sticks out just because it's something that's still not not too many people do it. I don't think not too many people push it, you know, the way I push it. But it's that extra wow factor that you could give a company to really separate them from whatever else they're doing. You know what I mean? And it's pretty much, and the type of people that do that are the type of people like me that like to specialize in things. So they want to be different. Mm-hmm. So they do those kind of things. So it's easy, you know, it's easy for me to, you know, to hook them once I start throwing them these ideas. You know what I mean? And then plus the fact that I already have, you know, previous work already, you know, doing it, it's a no-brainer.
Thank you for being a part of the show.
No, man, thanks for having me. Really honored. It was awesome to meet you at the Metro Wraps live event.
Well, it feels like a lifetime ago, right?
It does. I mean, with this whole thing that's going on, it does feel like that.
Well, the last thing I'm going to let you do is just give a shout out to everyone out there. Is there anything you want to talk to or tell people? Just go for it.
I mean, we have another hour. I mean, I appreciate a lot of the people that reach out. You know, especially people that I have followed from, you know, from the beginning. Very few people that I follow from the beginning. You know, they'll reach out and, you know, and ask me things and all that. And I do the same as well. Anything that I'm, you know, I'm a closed door type of person. I don't like putting stuff out there. So I like being really private, so a lot of the conversations are private and all that. But I love doing a lot of work for a lot of people out there. Since probably like 2 years ago, I started doing just pure installs, and a lot of people have reached out and asking me if I was available and all that. So it's cool, being able to, be counted on and counting on people and people counting on me. And I've always been really big on, one person could, wash the hands off the other person, vice versa, and just being yourselves. And
it's been a pleasure to have you on. Hope to see you soon in whatever shape or form that would be. I don't know if it's going to be SEMA or whatever, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was really, really, really looking forward to SEMA this year. I was really looking forward to RapsCon because I was going to go this year. It sucks, but I guess
it's beyond something we can change.
Yeah, it's, there's, I guess, what, the famous saying, there's always next year. And it sucks because it was another show I was looking forward to. I was supposed to go to the Orlando show. I was supposed to actually do some demoing there this year. It sucks that I don't get to go because I haven't really been to Orlando one in a few years. And then we were supposed to have one, the Graphics of the Americas. It wasn't the Graphics of the Americas, but SGIA was doing a show here at Miami Beach because they used to do it here, but then the Miami Beach Convention Center went through a whole, they redid the whole thing, so they were gone. And their first show was going to be this year. I was really looking forward to that show. It's supposed to be in February, but with all this stuff that happened, nothing's happening. So, SEMA probably won't be attending since, there's going to be a lot of absentees, especially a lot of people from overseas, and it's I'll play it by ear, put it to you that way. I may surprise some of y'all.
There's always going to be another year.
Yeah, there's always going to be another year. But I mean, it was like, I had been saying it, or I was saying it all last year. And I'm like, dude, next year, 2020, SEMA's going to be crazy. Can you imagine? It's 2020, future, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a crazy year. And then here we are. But 2021, we're coming at you.
2021,
see you. Yeah, dude. I hope so.
All right, man. Nice to talk to you. Talk to you soon. Hey, man.
Take care, Simon. Appreciate your time.
All right.